looking at the first part of this talk, Fulfilling God's Dream Together. And this one to talk today on the second aspect, but just a quick little bit of a review from last week. Philippians 2, first couple of verses, says this: if there is any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Good request. The Lord is made happy as we agree wholeheartedly, we love each other, and we work together with one mind and purpose. And we were looking at the importance of unity and of maintaining unity. And I was going to just put these up very, very quickly, just some verses which are from the Bible, you know, about the importance of unity. In the Old Testament, the Lord says to the Lord, if as one people we've begun to do this, nothing will be impossible. About the people building the Tower of Babel. It was like, you know, they are so united, they are so together. We need to come and bring division because they're going building in the wrong direction. But the strength of unity meant that nothing was going to be impossible for them. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. We'll touch on that later. That's a promise from Psalm 133. A warning: any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. Jesus says this. So it applies in every situation. It applies in the church too. Paul prays, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. That's a good prayer to pray for the church, that we have that spirit of unity. It says in another place, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. And then he talks about in Ephesians 4, giving apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, etc., gifts to the church until we all reach unity in the faith. It's one of the goals that the Lord has for his church. But we saw last week that one of the strategies, one of the enemy's favourite strategies, is to sow dissension and division to destroy God's dream. And God's given us a dream together, and he's given you dreams as individuals, and the enemy always wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the ways he does that corporately is by sowing dissension. And that's why Paul says, make every effort to maintain that unity which you've been given. You see, it's easy to forget, but we are in a spiritual battle. And if he can divide us, we're weak and vulnerable, but if we stay united, we remain strong and a major challenge to him and his kingdom. That's why unity is so important. And I find it interesting, in the New Testament, there's just a couple of reasons why people were put out of the church. So they'd have to be really serious, wouldn't it, if you're going to ask somebody to stop fellowshipping with you. And the first one, if you look through the scriptures, is sexual immorality, or ongoing sexual immorality. And sexual temptation is very, very strong, and it's a very successful weapon which the enemy uses to stop people in their tracks and to destroy dreams. And just last week I heard that one of the most highly respected church leaders in our country has slipped again. Not him again, but is another one that slipped into immorality. And he's had to leave his post as a charismatic national church leader. And when I hear those sort of things, I don't think, oh, what a rubbish person. It makes me worried. Because I know that the enemy wants to do that for each of us here if he can. So that we're all stopped in our tracks. And sexual immorality, sexual temptation, is one of his favourite weapons. But where there's no repentance, where there's no change, Paul asks the church to excommunicate those which are continuing in sexual immorality. But the only other reason that I found that people are put out of the church is for those who cause division. In Romans 16, verse 17, Paul says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way, that are contrary, different to what you've been taught by your leaders. Keep away from them. Paul's saying it's dangerous to associate with those which sow division and dissension in the church. And Paul asks the leaders to put them out of the church, because the church will get contaminated if we listen to those which are sowing disunity and dissension among us. And I just think we need to take those warnings seriously, and they're so opposite. Who would ever have thought sowing dissension and division is on the same sort of level as sexual immorality? But they're the only two reasons I can find that people were asked to, or they were put out of the church in the New Testament. And in one sense, I think that second reason is more serious than the first. The first is obvious and blatant. But the second reason, you get away with it, is subtle. But for both of those situations, they were asked to put out of the church, because if they're tolerated, like yeast, it will begin to infect the whole lamp and bring us down. So Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to maintain, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So important we take that to heart, church, especially as we are on this exciting journey together. But the second prerequisite for unity, humility, the first one I was putting out last week, the second one I've described as embracing heaven's order. Now, I need to just explain what I mean. I've got a quarter of an hour to do that. Psalm 133 says this: how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is, isn't it? It's nice. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. Where brothers dwell together in unity, the psalmist is saying, it's like that anointing oil being poured on the head of the high priest. And it goes all the way down, and everybody which is connected receives blessing and life. And where there's unity, the expression becomes life forevermore. It's a beautiful picture. Now, guys, we need humility. Good job I spoke on that last week. We need humility to hear what I'm going to say today. You're going to be nice to me, aren't you? Mm-hmm. It's all right, isn't it? Yeah, you do love me. You see, I want you to be open to a perspective which is just totally opposite to what is lived outside the church. Totally opposite to what our culture teaches and expresses. What I'm talking about today, it's not Western culture, and people have said to me in the past, it doesn't work, Neville, because you're in the Western culture now. But what I'm talking today is not Western culture, it's a kingdom culture. It's heaven's culture. And I want to share it with you, because it's just totally opposite to the worldly culture. And so because it's normal out there doesn't mean to say it should be normal in here. Are you okay?
Yes.
So it's heaven's culture which we're talking about. And in heaven, there is a perfect order. But it wasn't always the case. There was rebellion, even in heaven. Satan challenged God's order. And he rebelled against God's order. And he caused division in heaven. So much so that Romans 16 had to be applied. And he was kicked out of heaven with all of his followers. All of those demonic hosts, they were kicked out of heaven. And I know some of you thinking, well, that's a bit harsh. Poor little Satan. You know, he just had a different perspective to God's. And he was influencing others. Poor little devil. But God didn't stand for that. He saw the trouble. He saw what would happen if that remained in heaven. And he threw him out of heaven. Why do we think it's any different for the church, by the way? Why do we think it's okay for the devil to be thrown out, but not when we want to be rebellious and when we want to stand against the Lord's anointed? You see, but anyway, that's another thing. He's gone. Order has been restored in heaven. There's a God, there's a king, and the angels worship, and they serve, and there's all sorts of beings in heaven, strange beasts, and all sorts of stuff up there. Don't understand it all, but they're all flowing with honour and worship to the one who sits on the throne. And Jesus says, church, you need to pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, that government, that order which has been expressed in heaven, you need to bring in to the church. So his government and his order flows all the way through the church too. So you're okay, you're still with me on this, aren't you? So it's not what we've decided is best out there, or you know, or in Europe, or in our Western culture, but it's, Lord, we want your order. We want your kingdom here on earth as it is already in heaven. You see, we are called to embrace heaven's order. And that's going to be absolutely essential if we maintain unity. What do I mean? Well, it's to do with our attitude to those who are over us. It is to do with giving honour where honour is due. I love to give honour. Paul, thank you for honouring all of those people involved in the pavilion today. You know, I was on the row. I was the first to clap. Thank you, Rob and family and everybody. You know, we love to give honour. We need to give honour. Needs to be from the heart, because it's honouring God's anointing. It's honouring God's blessing. And I love that culture of honour which is developing here in our church. So this heaven's order, it's recognising, it's embracing, and it's honouring leadership and government that God has put in place. Now, some of you might say, yes, that's important. It's what God's put in place. But do you know what? There's this scripture from Romans 13, which isn't a very easy scripture either. And I didn't write this, but this is what the Bible says. All authority has come from God. Therefore, submit to that authority as if you're submitting to God. Now, that wasn't Neville's idea. That has been written 2,000 years ago. And if we refuse to submit to those authorities, we're rebelling against God. You can see why embracing heaven's order is so important for unity, life, and blessing to flow, can you? Do you catch what I'm saying? So if we're to agree wholeheartedly together, as Paul was praying, and working together with one mind and purpose, we need masses of humility. That's why it was important last week to hear that. But we also need to support and embrace willingly the leadership and anointing over us in the Lord. And the promise is, when we do, just as that oil was poured on the high priest, blessing and life flows and reaches out to anybody and everybody that we come in touch with. Amen. Is this good? It's good. It is good. I'm telling you, it's good anyhow. It is good. As we embrace heaven's order, nothing can go wrong, because we're under his covering and his blessing, and he will make provision for us in every way. There's a reward for those which decide to come under heaven's order. Here's an interesting observation. You know who they are? Pastor Caesar and Claudia. They have the most amazing family and marriage that I know about in ministry circles. Every conference, they will talk about family and marriage, but they don't just talk about it, they've modelled it. And in the early days, like 10 years ago for us, when Pastor Caesar came to London for the first time, you know, I'm not saying he's the best preacher in the world, but when he introduced his family, hearts were touched. Wow, look what he's produced. And now in his family, the girls, there's Lorena and Sarah and Manuela, and there's another one as well, I've got a picture for her. They're just all in ministry. They're all Christians. They're all saved. They're all serving the Lord. And they all love their mum and dad, and they love each other. And it's like there's a blessing which has flown. But what I find really, really interesting in all this is that as we came into this vision and honoured and embraced Pastor Caesar, we received some of this blessing too into our family. James at that time, wherever you are, James, young man, he wasn't walking with the Lord, or certainly wasn't very close to the Lord. There was a big change which began to take place. And now we have a family of children which love and worship and serve the Lord. And I'm thinking, what have I done? What's Jackie done? We don't deserve that blessing and that grace. It's not like we're the best parents in the world. It's not like we've really cracked how to the home life and stuff like that. Do you know what the secret is? I think we've embraced a father over us whose values are family. Amen. And as we've loved and honoured and supported and prayed for Pastor Caesar, we've received some reward. That blessing has flowed down into our lives too. And the amazing thing is, I don't know a pastor, a G12 pastor, who's been involved for more than a year or two with Pastor Caesar, who hasn't got the same story to tell. And I'm thinking, that's absolutely incredible. All across Europe, all across South America, all across the United States, families have come together. Do you think there might be something in coming under heaven's order? Do you think there might be something in, as we've honoured our Father in the Lord, we've received his blessing? I think there is. Look at this amazing, I'm boasting now. Look at this amazing little picture I was given. You can't see it really, but I was given this by Emma. James's Emma for Christmas. It was my favourite present. And it's a picture of all of our family, different parts of the world even, ministering and being together. And it's got vision, family, dream. And I just think, it's up in my office. I think, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it. But thank you, Lord. You've touched our family because we've come under heaven's flow. I think he wants to touch families here. I think that flow is for you too. You know the answer. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. You know the answer. Come under heaven's flow. Yes, Lord. If you honour those above you, Jesus says, if you honour them, you'll receive their reward. That's what Jesus says. There's blessing from coming under heaven's flow. Hallelujah. Sorry, I get a bit excited about that. Embracing heaven's order. So, how do we receive this anointing? Well, let me just go to one or two other things first. You know, the anointing flows from the head. Sorry, some people like to turn it the other way around. But the anointing flows from the head and it flows down. Everyone joined receives the blessing of the Lord, life forevermore. The only requirement, remain connected. In heart, you're connected with those over you in the Lord. David teaches us, honour the Lord's anointed. Saul was a bad king, but God had put him there, and David did absolutely nothing to criticize, to speak against. He said, honour the Lord's anointed. Jesus teaches us to honour, to embrace the one sent in his name, and we'll receive their reward. Hebrews says, be persuaded by your leaders. In other words, don't just think, oh, that's a load of rubbish, Neville. Come back another week. Be persuaded, listen, have a heart that wants to learn, to receive, to catch something. Or your cell leader, I'm not just talking about me, or your father, or whoever it might be. Be persuaded by them, have that attitude. It says submit in our Bible, but the actual Greek thing is be persuaded by your leaders. I think that's a beautiful expression. Paul talks about gifts from heaven. I've talked about that the blessing might flow. You see, the teaching's clear, isn't it? As we honour heaven's order, we receive blessing. So how do we receive the blessing? How do we receive that anointing? We come under the flow. Remain under heaven's flow. Bring down those barriers. Bring down those resistances. You know, I was reading a story the other day, and it was about an assistant pastor. He'd fallen out with the main pastor. And he'd been disappointed about a decision which had changed. And he felt let down and everything else. And he said, you know, every Sunday I'd come and listen to this pastor and I got absolutely nothing from him. It's like the anointing had gone from him. It was just like, well, I was there because I was being paid. I was an assistant. But I got absolutely nothing from his words. And then he felt conviction in his heart about his attitude towards his Father in the Lord, the pastor. And he thought, that's not the right attitude I've got. I'm hurt, I'm this, that, and the other. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to repent. And he changed his attitude. And the next week, do you know what? Words of gold were just being spoken from that pastor. And the week after, words of gold were just being spoken. What was the difference? Did the pastor's gift change? No. They were there all the time, every week. The attitude enabled him to receive nothing from his pastor because he had the wrong attitude. But when he changed his heart, everything changed. Amen. I tell you, this is what unity is about. This is a glorious message. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. Hallelujah. Anyway, look, I've got a pretty mountain there. This is the mountain of Hermon. You see, it's always covered in snow. And at the bottom of the mountain, especially in the summer, it'll be hard, it'll be hot, it'll be crusty. But that mountain is always covered in snow. And that psalm says it's like the dew of Hermon, which comes down. And the closer you get to that dew and that melting snow, there's refreshment. There's life. The trees are growing, the plants are growing, there's greenery, there's vegetation. But the further you're away from that, you don't receive that blessing so much. And that was the picture which the psalmist was painting about dew falling on the Mount of Hermon. So, church, I'm closing now. We need humility. And we need to recognise God's authority if we are to remain united. In the home, where parents are respected and obeyed, there's blessing. It is true. In the home, because it's God's order. Where parents are respected and obeyed, blessing flows. At work, where the boss is respected and obeyed, blessing flows. It's God's order. He is your anointed at work. In the church, where leaders are respected and obeyed, if you like, blessing flows. It's God's order. And he wants us to learn his order and to run with his order. The Bible refers to a bad state of affairs in Israel. It says, each man did what was right in his own sight. That's a horrible description, isn't it? In other words, there was just independence. People just did their own thing. There was no coordinated. There was no love together, no corporateness. And do you know what? During that time, the enemies of Israel routed them time and time and time again because they were so weak. And then God gave them judges. And the judges brought the people together. And they came under one person, a woman or a man. And they led and they stood against the enemy and they overcome the enemy because there was unity and there was togetherness. So as we embrace heaven's order, church, with humility and love, I can promise you blessing. Abundant blessing in your workplace, if you honour your boss, in your family, if you honour your parents, in the church, if you honour the leaders, there's going to be blessing flowing to you. I've got a couple of minutes left, and I want to close with a little illustration and an example. As Paul mentioned earlier on, over the summer I gave 2 weeks of holiday up, went to work at the pavilion. Enjoyed it most of the time. I thought I was originally going to work with Nat, doing some electrical work, but Nat was over busy, and I ended up working with a little guy called Richie. He's my new friend. He's a young Kingsman electrician, a bit of a lad, but I like Richie, and we got on well, and for a week, he was my boss. He's less than half my age, but he's my boss. He told me what to do, how he wanted it done, and then this little 22-year-old would come and check. I'd done it right. He was my boss. He had every right to do that. And on one occasion, didn't we, John? We had to redo something twice. It wasn't right. And this little guy came and had to tell somebody a little bit older than me, a little bit more experienced than me as well, and myself, you haven't done it right. It's a good job he did, otherwise we'd have had it wrong. You see, blessing flows when we do things the right way. And I could have got really upset with Richie. Richie, I'm only a volunteer. I'm trying to help. Why didn't you explain it better in the first place? But what was the point in getting all worked up on that? Richie, okay, just show me again. What have we got to do? And we did it. It's called submission. No. It's another lovely word. It's called honour and respect. I could have reacted and caused disunity. And then another occasion, he asked me to do a job that he said he didn't like doing himself. He was waiting for some little ones, you know, Anthony, bless him, and others to come in and do it. But they weren't around on that day or two. So, Neville, can you do this? I thought, I can't even see the point in doing this. Why are we doing this? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it's ridiculous. Just couldn't work it out. And I said to Richie, I'm going to try to be nice. I said, Richie, why are we doing this? He said, well, it's what Nat and I always do. I thought, okay, I'll give Nat a ring. Then I thought, what's the point? What's the point? Richie's asked me to do it. I can't see the purpose of it. Can't see why it's necessary. Do you know what? I just got on and did it. And to be honest, I didn't really find it that difficult. Not to do the stuff, but to do what Richie was asking me to do. Do you know what? It's in my heart to follow those over us. In the workplace, church. I love following people in the church. I love following Pastor Caesar. I love following Pastor Leonard. Yeah, it's in my heart to follow. It needs to be in our hearts to follow too. And do you know what? I enjoyed it. And I did that little job for Richie. And there was unity and there was blessing. Even in doing the electrics, I was under heaven's flow. But the important thing was my attitude to Richie. I could have let that really rile me. No logical reason in my head. But what's the point? You've asked me to do it, Richie. And Nat's asked you to do it that way. And Rob's probably asked Nat to do it that way. So we come under the flow. And we do it that way. One last thing about the pavilion. It was a good learning at Cove for me. The following week, we did things differently. And sometimes I was just clearing away and sweeping up. And I thought to myself, why have I taken off a week just to get a broom in a dusty old place and clear rubbish away? Yeah, I could have done better stuff for my holiday, I was thinking. I thought I'd come to do some electrics, something useful. I had to be careful with humility in some of these things. But actually, there just wasn't that more useful work to do, or I didn't have the ability to do that more useful work at that particular time. And so the skilled people would make the mess, Neville would clear it up, take it out to the bin. And, it's a lesson to learn. It's a lesson to learn. And the view I took was each barrow load or bucket load or handful of stuff I'm taking out to that bin, I'm enabling us to get into the pavilion more quickly and more cheaply. Somebody else would have had to do it if I didn't do it, but I was there to help and to serve. And what I'm trying to illustrate is it's not the type of work, it's not too big to do something like that. We just got to be humble, guys. We just got to do what we need to do to see the glory go to the Lord and to see him honoured. And so, bless you, Richie. He's had other invitations. I've asked him to Alpha. Nat's already asked him to Alpha. I've asked him to come to the opening. I think I beat you to that one, Nat. And he's not sure if he's going to come. But you can pray for Richie.
Yes.
Richie's in a Christian environment a lot of the time at the moment. I think God wants him.
Yes.
And I love that little guy. And I hope in some way I showed him something of the humility of church by just doing what he asked me to do and serving him as my boss during that week or two at the pavilion. You see, it's not a status thing. This is about honouring and embracing heaven's flow. So as we do that, let's remain humble. Let's obey. And let's allow his blessing to flow. It's not difficult. In fact, it's easy when we have a humble heart and the right heart towards each other. So lastly, make every effort to maintain the unity. Are we being humble? Are we willingly, enthusiastically embracing heaven's order, even if we don't understand everything? The call is to embrace it and to trust the Lord. And if we are, and if we do, we will be blessed and we'll be a blessing.